The Harp by Mayor Uri Gottesman. Read to you by his son, Yitzhak Gottesman. Prologue. Yosef climbed high into the stony Shomron Hills, seeking his secret refuge. The warm rays of the Sivan sun beat down heavily, and the mountainsides shimmered. He beat a firm tattoo with his staff, and his flock of sheep and goats followed in step, their little neck bells tinkling plaintively. Deep into the hills, he climbed a rise and entered a thick copse of pines, letting the sheep meander as they would, grazing among the scraggly grass and underbrush. He passed through the pines and came out to a small clearing. Before him fell a steep hollow in whose bottom grew an ancient, gnarled apple tree. Its small green fruit were just budding, perfuming the warm air with their fragrance. Nearby, a tiny brook murmured. He climbed down to the tree and reached a small mound of stones hidden beneath its branches. He pulled away the stones, reached down to a hole he had dug out, and extracted a large leather pouch bound tight by a thick woolen cord. He carefully undid the cord and stretched open the pouch. Carefully, he extracted a tall, graceful harp, nearly a cubit in height. He had made it himself, cutting the cedar branches, then trimming, planing, shaping, and polishing them. Over its heart-shaped frame, he stretched 6 strings that he had twisted himself from cured sheep veins. The harp glinted in his hands, its wood as unmarked as it had been the day he polished it. He took one last look around and began playing, his fingers flashing flawlessly over the strings. As he played, he sang Baruchi Nafshi in honor of Rosh Chodesh, the new moon, lifting his voice sweetly, his words flitting over the notes like a bird flitting from leaf to leaf, touching here, landing there, its wings lifted towards heaven. Shir l'Hashem v'chayai, azam r'lelokai b'yoidi, yerav alav sichi anoichi esmach b'Hashem. I will sing praises to Hashem while I endure. May my words be sweet to Him. I will rejoice in Hashem. Sinners will cease from the earth, and the wicked will be no more. Bless Hashem, O my soul. Hallelujah. He daydreamed that he stood not under a hidden apple tree in the forest, but in the Mikdash, on the Duchan, in front of the holy altar. In just under 2 years, he would come of age, 25, and he would begin training for the service of the Mikdash. But now he stood alone under the clear blue sky and sang his heart out for Hashem. He looked up and saw suddenly that he was not alone. A man stood atop the rise gazing down at him. He stood in the same spot that Yosef had emerged from, as though he had followed his footsteps. How long had he been there, and what had he seen or heard? Yosef had no idea. He lowered his harp, trying to conceal it behind him, and waved a greeting. The man smiled and climbed down the little hill to Yosef. Yosef could not determine his age. He seemed elderly, yet he had a youthful spryness. He wore simple clothing. Perhaps he was also a shepherd. Chodesh Tov, the man greeted in a friendly fashion. Chodesh Tov, Yosef responded wearily. They stood there, the stranger looking at Yosef in an almost fatherly fashion, and Yosef looking back uneasily. How long have you been there? He asked the stranger.
Not long. I was nearby, and the sound of your playing came through the trees. I came to listen. I see you are upset. Perhaps you are frightened of me. You need not be.
This is my private place where I am alone with my harp. No one knows about this place.
Do not fear. I am the last one to tell. Do you think you are the only one who wishes to be alone with Hashem or to sing words of praise? I also have my hiding place, and I also know how to sing.
Yosef stared at the man, and his face softened. In truth?
Why would I say a falsehood? I also sing. I even know the harp. Perhaps we can sing together.
What is your name? Asked Yosef.
Yaakov, he answered. And what is yours?
Yosef, son of Nachum, a Levite.
Shalom Aleichem, the man said, sticking out his hand. This time they shook hands warmly, and Yosef was more at ease. I heard you play, and I felt the kedusha of your words. That is why I followed your music. Please play more.
Yosef demurred. His music was meant for the Almighty, when he was alone with his thoughts, when he could dream of the Mikdash, not for pleasing others.
I cannot, he said firmly. My song is for when I am alone.
Yaakov stood there, tugging reflectively at his salt and pepper beard. He had a unique face, thin and fine, yet rugged and of the fields. He looked like a shepherd, but where were his sheep?
He turned to Yosef with a twinkle. It's Rosh Chodesh, a time to celebrate the new moon. Come, do not be stubborn. That is not a holy trait. You will play, and I shall sing. Do you agree?
He had such a warm, fatherly look that Yosef softened.
You sing, answered Yosef, and I will follow you on my harp.
Yaakov gave an appreciative smile, raised his hand, and furrowed his face in reflection. He swayed back and forth, mustering up every ounce of concentration. He seemed to have forgotten that Yosef was there. Yosef watched him closely and began to tremble.
I am in the presence of a tzaddik, Yosef knew.
Finally, Yaakov lowered his head, gave Yosef a loving look as if he had known him all his life, and began singing.
Hallelu b'tekiya shofar, hallelu b'nevel v'chinor, hallelu b'soif u'mochol, hallelu b'minam v'ugol, hallelu b'tziltzilei shoma, hallelu b'tziltzilei srua, koil hanishama tahalelka halleluka, koil hanishama tahalelka halleluka.
Yaakov's voice lifted high into the heavens, and a handful of birds who were hiding in the apple tree flew off in fright. His voice was very strong, and it penetrated deep into Yosef's own dreams. His fingers raced quickly up and down the strings of his harp, trying to match the power of the singer. Finally, after singing the psalm over and over and over again, Yaakov finished his song. He turned to Yosef, smiled, and then shook his head. Yosef looked at him puzzled.
No good, Yaakov said quietly. The harp is missing something.
This is my reward, Yosef wondered.
What is it missing? He asked, feeling affronted.
Please, Yaakov said, let me hold the harp for a moment.
Yosef said nothing, but on his own, his head shook no.
Do not be afraid, I will not harm you or your harp. It is very beautiful and very precious, but it is still missing something. Are you afraid that I will run away with it? You are younger than I. You will easily catch me, punish me.
Still, Yosef hesitated. I do not want a stranger's hand on my harp, he thought.
Yaakov did not argue, but he looked deep into Yosef's eyes, and for a moment Yosef thought that he was staring at the Mikdash itself. He suddenly felt very weak. He handed the harp to the stranger. Yaakov took it and held it over his chest, over his heart. Again that same gesture. He lifted his right hand and furrowed his forehead in concentration. He paused a long time. Finally, he lifted his head. His eyes were closed and he seemed in another world.
Achas,
he cried out softly. Then he raised his hand to the first string and cried out.
Achas v'yachas.
He plucked at the first string and listened.
Achas v'shtayim.
He plucked at the second string, listening.
Achas v'shalosh.
He plucked at the third string.
Achas v'arbe.
The fourth string.
Achas v'chamesh.
The fifth string. He paused, swayed with great kavana, and exclaimed with great fervor,
Achas v'sheish.
He laid his fingers on the sixth string and strummed it over and over.
Achas v'sheish,
he repeated. He stood still for a moment and then shook his head. He opened his great eyes and looked at Yosef.
The sixth string, it's missing something.
What is it missing? Protested Yosef.
It is like the rest. I stretched it myself. The sound is clear and pure.
It is clear, it is pure, but it does not have all of the tone it should have. Do not be offended. I am older than you are, and I have known the sound of the harp all my life. The string that you have set must have more. Here.
He reached into a pocket of his tunic and extracted one string.
You see? Hashem ordained that I should have just the string that you need. Come, you could put it on yourself.
He stretched out his hand with the string dangling from it. Hesitantly, Yosef reached out and took the string from him. He ran his fingers over it and held it alongside his own strings.
Where does it come from? He asked.
It is from the vein of a ram. I cured it and twisted it myself. It has all the tone in it. See? Put it in your harp and you will hear.
Quickly Yosef loosened his own sixth string and removed it. He tried to attach Yaakov's string. It was very compact, and as much as he struggled, he could not stretch it onto the frame.
What is it made of? He asked.
Here, let me do it, the old man said.
Yosef was reluctant to hand his precious instrument to the stranger. It was his harp. He had made it himself. But Yaakov looked at him with such a warmth and authority that Yosef quickly surrendered the instrument into his hands. Yaakov took back the string, grasped the harp close to his chest, and with one powerful tug wrenched the string over the frame. Yosef knew that it had been one of his strings, it would have broken. Yaakov adjusted the knot, played his finger gently over the string, and nodded. He returned the harp to Yosef.
"Now play," he said, handing back the harp.
As he took back the instrument, Yosef glanced at the old man's face. His features had suddenly turned intensely sad, and he looked away. Yosef held the harp, no longer shy to play before this man. Part of the stranger had infused itself into the harp. Without thinking, he began his song. I shall not die, but I shall live and relate the deeds of Hashem. He did not choose the verse chose him. The new string drew his fingers to it, demanded to be played, and he sang the holy verse over and over. Why this verse? The harp's music soared. It bore into his heart, and his body trembled with joy and fear. He stared at Yaakov. The old man stood there transfixed, his hands clenched into fists, his eyes shut tight, his lips racing an intense prayer. Finally overcome, Yosef stopped. He watched the tzaddik pray until finally his eyes opened. Yaakov's smile reappeared, but the sadness still reigned, like the sun poking through a storm cloud.
"Father Yaakov, it is late and I must go now. Tomorrow at dawn, we begin the journey to bring the Bikurim to the Mikdash. I must return and make ready. When shall we meet again?"
Yaakov lifted his hands heavenward.
"Yosef, we will meet again, of that I am sure, but when? How?"
He shrugged. "Hashem will decide, at the right time, for the right purpose. Go, for I too must leave."
"Please give me a bracha before you go," Yosef requested. "The road to Jerusalem is fraught with danger."
"Who am I to bless?"
Yaakov answered. Even so, he raised his hand to Yosef's head, closed his eyes, and proclaimed, "Bein peras Yosef, bein peras aliyin. A fruitful vine is Joseph, a fruitful vine by a spring. Like Yosef, Hashem has made you very handsome. Like Yosef, your brothers shall hate you and strangers shall imprison you. Like Yosef, you shall live and your holiness will glow like the moon at its zenith." Yaakov turned and climbed quickly up the hill, disappearing into the pines. It was almost as though he was afraid that Yosef would follow him. Yosef stood momentarily deep in thought. The noon sun beat down warmly and his head felt heavy. He heard again the tinkling of the sheep's bells. Had he dreamt the whole thing? He lifted his harp and plucked on the new string. No, it was no dream.